Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service of morning prayer on this, the first Sunday of Lent. It's a Sunday when we think of Jesus preparing in the desert for ministry, and it's a Sunday also when we think about that call to change our lives and to follow him. And I suspect that that's really a lifelong journey for all of us. Wanted to mention a few notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course continues over Zoom at 8 o'clock. And on Thursday evening, we have the second of our midweek Lenten services. And this week, in our Lenten service, which is at 7:30, it'll be live streamed here from the church. The theme is some tips for your physical health during lockdown. That's the theme of our midweek Lenten service on Thursday evening. Also, just to mention that the first of our midweek Lenten services from last week is available on the YouTube channel, and it contains some tips for your mental health during lockdown, and you're welcome to view it on the church's YouTube channel. Next Sunday, our service online will be the service of Holy Communion. And as we think of Jesus being baptized today by his cousin John, the theme of our first hymn is that baptism of Jesus by John on Jordan's bank, the Baptist's cry. Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together today to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, and to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm that speaks of the Lord's mercy and steadfastness, and also his desire to guide us in our daily lives. We're going to say together verses 1 to 9 of Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame, but let the treacherous be shamed and frustrated. Make me to know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you have I hoped all the day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but think on me in your goodness, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore shall he teach sinners in the way. He will guide the humble in doing right, and teach his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. At this point in our service, I'm going to invite a colleague of mine to share about a Bible verse that changed his life. And interestingly enough, this is one of the verses that will appear in our Bible reading today. But at this point, I'm going to hand over to Archdeacon Ken Higgins to speak about a verse that changed his life.
Hi, my name's Ken Higgins. I'm the rector of St Donard's Parish here in East Belfast. And the verse that changed my life is from the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 17. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. This was the words of Jesus in calling his first disciples. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. Then he went into the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And after he returned from the wilderness, the first task was to call his disciples. And he called them with these words, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." That verse was a verse that changed my life. It took place many, many years ago, way back in 1980, when I was training to be a church army officer in the college in Blackheath in South East London. I had to write an essay. The essay was entitled, "How Can You Reconcile a God of Love with All the Suffering in the World? Discuss." I wrote the essay with great difficulty, but a few weeks later, I was sent out in placement to work alongside a Church Army sister who was the matron of a hospice, St Christopher's Hospice, in South East London. That particular placement was very difficult because it was working with people who were terminally ill and also working with their families who were preparing to lose their loved one. I came back from the placement really confused about my calling to carry on in ministry. I went to speak to the principal of the college, who was very supportive indeed, and he suggested that I went on a retreat and I sought God's will for my life. He arranged for me to go to a retreat in the south of England, and on the way there on the train I prayed that God would really speak to me and show me his will for my life. I went to the retreat, and I have to be honest and say that I didn't get much out of it until Sunday afternoon, when we had to assemble for prayer. And during the prayer time, I really couldn't concentrate at all because a text of scripture came into my mind. Mark 1, verse 17. Mark 1, verse 17. At that time, I didn't know what Mark 1, verse 17 was. I know the Bible very well, but I didn't know Mark 1, verse 17. And so I couldn't wait to get out of that room, to get up to my bedroom to find out what Mark 1, verse 17 was. And when I opened the Bible and looked, Mark 1, verse 17, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And that was a verse of confirmation, I believe, from God that I should continue to train for ministry. And that was 40 years ago. I've often thought of that verse that really changed my life. And when I think of that verse, I also think that it's very much central to being a Christian. What Jesus asked his disciples to do was to follow him. His invitation was, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me." Often people get confused in regards to Christianity. Jesus didn't call these men to a new philosophy on life or a new political stance. He called them to follow him. "Come, follow me." People often get mixed up with Christianity thinking it's a system that you follow. When you ask someone what is a Christian, they respond, "Someone who believes this, this, and this." Or sometimes they would say, "Oh, a Christian is a very moral person, upstanding and does good works." Now, of course, a Christian has beliefs, and of course the way that they live is very important indeed. But the most important thing is that we're called to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Then he goes on in the verse and says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you." That's an important thing to remember, is that when we come to follow Jesus, it will involve change. And Jesus changed my life when I first became a Christian, and he continues to change things in my life. Jesus calls us to follow him. I wonder, have you responded to Jesus' call? He calls each and every one of us to follow him. That verse, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. The next verse, verse 18, says, and they left their nets immediately and followed him. Because Jesus commanded these men to follow him, and it demanded a response. And the response was immediate, and they followed him. I wonder, have you made that response to Jesus' call? Can I ask you to think about that and to respond? The verse that changed my life, and I believe can change your life, is the verse, Mark 1, verse 17. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men.
And as we respond to Ken's invitation through that Bible verse that changed his life, our next hymn is the hymn, Purify My Heart. Our Bible reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter, beginning to read at the 9th verse. At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw a heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends our Bible reading. And now we're going to join together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today, the first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn thinks about that period of 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness before his public ministry began, 40 days and 40 nights.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you have ever found yourself perhaps in a social situation where you felt that you didn't quite fit in or meet people's expectations. Some years ago, a friend of mine invited me to preach at the college in Cambridge, where she was a chaplain at the time. And having been shown to the nice room, which was our accommodation for the weekend, my friend then showed me the library and the reading rooms at the bottom of the stairs, which were open to me as her guest. And as she had work to do, she then left us to our own devices, and I decided that I would pay a visit to the library. And inside this library, that there were lovely reading lamps and there were hot drinks available. And I took a couple of newspapers that were on the stands and I began perusing the sports pages with my hot drink beside me. But it wasn't too long until this gowned individual came along and politely asked me my name. And when I told him, he asked me, was I a student of the college? And when I told him that I wasn't, he then asked me, was I a fellow of the college? And again, I told him I wasn't. And there was no sign of this man going away. And then he quite haughtily told me that the library was strictly for the use of students and fellows. And he suggested to me that I ought to leave. And I explained to him that I was a guest of the chaplain, and I was told that the library was available for my use, and that I would be preaching at evensong the following evening. And he looked very disbelievingly at me, and he went away very pompously, got a list, and started to go down this list. And then, within a couple of moments, he was groveling and apologizing profusely for having disturbed me. And I suspect that my short haircut, my black woolly hat, and my choice of clothing was clearly not the attire of a Cambridge academic, or indeed what this man expected from the preacher at evensong. And sometimes trying to meet or to fulfill people's expectations can take a great deal out of us. And when we meet John the Baptist for the first time in Mark's Gospel, he clearly stood out as someone who was quite different. And yet his difference made him stand out in a positive way for the many who flocked to the desert to hear and to receive his message and his baptism. John the Baptist spoke unashamedly and without any hesitation about the need for repentance and forgiveness of sins. His message was uncomfortably direct, and it was very simple. He said people need, above all things, to turn their lives away from self-centered living and to turn back to the ways of God. Now, as a preacher, I generally get quite uncomfortable and scared about having at times to say hard things to myself and to the people that I'm trying to preach to. But John the Baptist never shied away from the difficult things. He told the people that this was what was necessary, and he also told them that this was how they could go about it. And so John offered them this ritual washing or cleansing, baptism in water to signify their intention to make a fresh start in their lives. And what's surprising perhaps is just how many people seemed to want this baptism. Acknowledging or confessing the wrong things in their lives seems to have been the immediate precursor to baptism. And an old proverb tells us that confession is good for the soul. And so maybe it felt good or it felt right for the people to be able to unburden themselves in this way as they got themselves right with God and they turned away from the wrong that they were doing. It was a very powerful ministry that John exercised around the area of the River Jordan, baptizing many who came to hear him preach. And yet John, with his own unconventional clothing and his pretty unusual diet, rather than wallowing in the glory of this widespread response to his teaching, he really had just one simple message to share. And what he said was this. He said, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." And John was really speaking about Jesus, the one coming after him, baptizing or cleansing the people, not with water, but with the purifying power of the Holy Spirit. And it is at this point that we maybe all have to pause and to recognize afresh the selfless nature of that Christian call to follow Jesus. And we meet Jesus himself for the first time in Mark's gospel, and we might wonder, well, what's he doing in his first appearance? Well, Jesus is identifying himself completely with sinful, lost human beings. And he's presenting himself for baptism to John. And even though Jesus himself was completely sinless, he was completely God, he takes this amazing, humble journey with all the crowds, and he says, "I want to be completely one with you. I want to identify with you in everything." And isn't it the most extraordinary humility to see Jesus doing this? And just like John, who put himself to one side in order to point to Jesus, Jesus himself does not herald who he is, but he stoops to our human level in order that he might lift us all up from the lowly and the lost place that we can so often find ourselves in before we have the humility to come before him and to seek his forgiveness and a fresh start. And I believe that what we see happening in this encounter in the River Jordan between Jesus and John, there's so much there that is powerful and relevant to us in the light of our current challenges and indeed divisions in this land. It's awful hard at the present time to see political parties politicizing the pandemic, trying to score points against one another because of a particular decision or approach to coming out of lockdown. It's hard to see these kinds of things happening when so many ordinary people are struggling in these difficult days. And sometimes it seems like it's a default position when political adversaries prefer to tear strips off one another than work for the common good. When, like Jesus and John, are we all going to stop accusing other people and simply come before the Lord on our knees and acknowledge our need of his healing and his rescue? There's a sense in which each one of us actually has to make our own personal journey and to see the importance and to do this for ourselves. And this season of Lent that we are entering into offers every one of us an opportunity for that space and reflection in our own lives. And what an uplifting voice of affirmation for Jesus to hear as the heavens open and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Wouldn't it be really something as a follower of Jesus to hear that same voice speaking out clearly to us after our endeavors to serve him and to follow him, to repent of our sins and to make that fresh start that he offers to us, where again God would say to you and to me, you are my son, you are my daughter whom I love, with you I am well pleased. And the thing is that there is nothing any of us have done to earn that title of being his beloved child. It's all divine grace. And the beautiful thing is, the more we recognize and receive it, the more we will want to share it with others. So if you remember nothing else from today's sermon, let me tell you that God believes in you, and he believes in me, and he longs to use you, and he longs to use me, very simply to serve and to fulfill his purposes on earth. And the challenging question is, are we willing to be part of that process with him? Let us pray. Lord God, we hear afresh the invitation today to open our hearts and lives to you and to follow you. We recognize our need to say sorry for the wrongs that we've done and those choices that we have made that lead us away from your love. Give us the courage that we need to turn back to yourself, to return to our heart's true home, and to allow your Holy Spirit to guide us and heal us and transform us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we hear of Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness without food and reliant upon his heavenly Father, we want to pray for all today who have been forced to flee their homes because of war and unrest. We pray for those around our world who live in huge refugee camps, in terrible poverty and difficult living conditions. And we pray for aid agencies like Christian Aid and Tear Fund, like CMS Ireland and Open Doors, who are all reaching out to very vulnerable people, working very often with persecuted Christians, seeking to offer food and employment and shelter for those who've been forced to flee from civil unrest or from persecution. We ask that these agencies would know your protection and your provision in this difficult and dangerous work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray also today for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And as a further extension to lockdown has been announced this week, we pray for special wisdom for the executive as they have to begin to plan a roadmap out of lockdown in the coming months. We pray that you would help them to put aside their political differences, to work together, and to make wise and important decisions as they need to do so. We also pray at this time for small businesses. We pray for all those businesses that have been going through such uncertainty and continue to operate on that basis. We also, Lord, ask for your hand to be upon the recovery of our economy after such a difficult year. And we pray for creativity and inspiration for those who seek to create jobs and employment. We also continue to pray for all frontline workers in retail, delivery, in the prison service, education, and hospitals. And we pray that they would know your strength and resources as they continue to work in very challenging environments. And we also want to take a quiet moment just now to pray for those whom we know who are unwell or recently bereaved or going through struggles of any kind at the present time. We bring them into your healing presence in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And as we think of those first disciples making that fresh start and following Jesus in their lives, our next hymn invites us to turn our hearts to Jesus afresh. We turn to Christ anew. we bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our worship today, and just wanted to give a final reminder that every day during the season of Lent, there is a devotional resource on the church's website and Facebook page where Bishop David has been producing daily videos of little studies in the Book of Nehemiah, each video 6 to 8 minutes long, and it's a wonderful devotional resource as we journey through Lent. So if you wish to avail of that, please check out the church's website or Facebook page. Our closing hymn for today's service, Safe in the Shadow of the Lord.